You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Monday is the start to a new week, and I feel like everyone needs it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group, and I think we can all agree Saturday was what happened in our worst fears. Listen, I said this last week. Yes, I predicted a big blowout. On paper, that's what should happen. Things aren't played on paper. It's like I said, I was concerned that Michigan was going to be overconfident. That extends to the coaching staff. That's what happened, in my opinion. Overconfidence. We're going to dissect this game a little bit. I don't want to, but we're going to. Obviously, if you haven't followed along, Michigan losing to Michigan State 27-24 over the weekend. Inexcusable loss. It is absolutely an inexcusable loss. But I do think that there is an element of overreaction happening amongst a lot of the Michigan fan base still. Like, maybe it's not an overreaction. Maybe it's not grappling with reality. I do think that there is a level of delusion, not the way that rival fans try to paint Michigan, or that the national media tries to paint Michigan. But I do think that as far as what's happening in the program, what could happen in the program, a lot has to go right. And I think the most troubling thing, more so, is that this is probably the most glaring failure, I think, from Jim Harbaugh and his tenure at Michigan, being really, really close to 2016 Iowa. But I mean, it's just a game you can't lose, and not with everything that you have going for you. And it spoke to stubbornness. The delusion that I speak of is something we've talked about here before. It's just that believing Michigan is better than it is. And I do think that this team is better than people have given it credit for. I think it's not quite as good as people were giving it credit for, myself included, after Minnesota, because it clearly lost resoundingly. I mean, I could tell if you were to ask me after the first quarter on Saturday who's going to win this game, I would have told you Michigan State. I did not have any feeling based off of the play calling, based off of what was happening on the field. Michigan State looked fundamentally strong. Michigan seemed intent to do the things that weren't going to help you win. And I couldn't believe it just watching it from afar. Now, there's a lot of things that people are out there saying that are just pure ridiculousness. I see people saying Jim Harbaugh took over the play calling again like he did against Army. Listen, he didn't take it over against Army either. I know that for 100% fact. I don't know that he didn't do it this Saturday, but I can tell you with a 99.9% of certainty that he didn't. I can tell you with 100% fact, though, last year against Army, he did not take over the play calling. And I see people saying, well, you know, Gattis knows what his boss likes, so he's going to... No, listen, that's not quite how it works, right? Like, there is an element where a guy is a head coach and he's going to call the shots as a head coach. That the philosophy of the team is going to be true. But Gattis, I just thought he called a bad game. I thought he just completely ignored the fact that, hey, we're not getting anything up the middle. I thought the personnel groupings were terrible. I thought he went away from the things that were working with the idea that something else was, you know, going to happen. I don't know why. There are three players that stand out to me in a good way four players that stand out to me in a good way coming out of Saturday. I forgot to tell you, by the way. I'm going to tell you now. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is, go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off of your next order. Totally forgot to mention that up top, so mentioning it now. Anyway, I digress. Four players stood out to me. Joe Milton, I thought, played really good given the circumstances. I thought he played better than how he looked. I don't think it was fair of himself, but I think it's admirable that he put the whole game on his own shoulders. But 300 yards passing, I mean, he was asked to pass it 51 times. I don't think his receivers did him any favors except for Roman Wilson, Ronnie Bell later in the game. But I thought Joe Milton played a pretty good game. I do think that what he said was accurate about him having happy feet, him being tentative. He did not look nearly as calm as he did in week one. Michigan State had him running off kilter the entire game. Number two, I thought, even though he had, five carries for 15 yards, I thought, or was it three for 15? I don't remember exactly. Blake Corum, I thought, had a really good game. I thought he's continuing to show flashes. Roman Wilson is the one that really stands out to me. I thought that he looked electric. I think he's your best receiver through 2 weeks. And I don't think it's particularly close. And Hassan Haskins, and the reluctance to go to Haskins throughout the game just baffles me, really. I'm looking at the stats here. Corum, 5 for 15, so I was right. Two touchdowns. His longest was 8. So, I mean, it wasn't like he was getting yards every time, but, I mean, they weren't asking him to. Hassan Haskins averaged 7 yards a carry, and he only got 8 carries. Milton was your leading rusher, 12 carries, 59 yards, averaged almost 5. Here's what's disappointing. Michigan outrushed Michigan State. Michigan outgained Michigan State in a yards per play. Michigan State ran the ball 38 times, got 3.3 yards on the ground. Michigan, despite Zach Charbonnet getting 3 yards on the day on 5 carries for an average of 0.6. Michigan averaged 4.5. And considering that 2 of Blake Corum's runs, which really brought his average down, were, you know, a lot, they were in a much smaller window because of the I know the one was the 8-yard rush to the end zone, but the other one was from a yard out. I mean, I thought I think that number could have been higher, and the number would have been higher had Michigan tested the perimeter, and that's what just doesn't make any sense. They just wanted to go inside when the offensive line was getting blown back constantly. It could not hold the middle at all. Until late in the game, it could hold the edge, and any time that Michigan wanted to do something, run A.J. Henning on a jet sweep, test the perimeter. It seemed like Michigan was able to get it, but it's the opposite of the game calling from last year, which is what doesn't make any sense. All right, you know what? Let's go to commercial now, and then we will continue talking about it. Obviously, I still have plenty of thoughts on what went wrong, and we'll get to actually why I'm not, overly concerned. Because I'm not. I'm really not. I'm concerned. I'm not overly concerned. I'll explain why later. Do you feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How would you like to hit the reset button and get ready for what's next? Especially, how would you like to hit the reset button? Let's go back to last Friday or Saturday morning. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Listen, Coors Light wants you to know that no matter what sport is on this fall, Saturdays are your time to chill. No matter what Michigan football does, good or bad. If your team isn't playing well this year, you can turn on another game. You can watch Alabama blow out Mississippi State. And that will give you an excuse to chill and drink a beer. Or you can watch Ohio State, Penn State. I thoroughly enjoyed that game, by the way. Doesn't matter what team is playing. Doesn't matter what sport's playing. Coors Light is the official beer of watching any team, any sport, just to drink beer. So flip through the channels, find a game, crack open a Coors Light. Coors Light is the one that I used to choose back when I drank and when I needed to unwind. And if I still drank, I probably would have had 15 on Saturday. So if you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right. Let's talk. We'll talk about why I'm not overly concerned here in a moment. Let's continue talking about what went right, what went wrong in the game. I mean, the corners obviously were the issue, but it's a misnomer. It's funny to me, like, every time you have a game like this, you have this, you know, cry for zone. Number one, Michigan deployed some zone that also didn't work. And zone doesn't preclude you from covering. Right? Like, you still have to cover. And they didn't run nearly as much zone as in this game as they did even against Minnesota, and certainly not as much as last year, but I thought a lot of the times from my vantage point, which I'm going to admit could be wrong because I see people having a very opposite opinion. I didn't have a good view of a TV from my spot in the press box, so I couldn't watch many replays. From my vantage point, high up in the Michigan press box, it looked like more often than not, Jamon Green particularly was in a position to make plays and just didn't. Because he had horrible technique. Whether he's called to try to turn and look for the ball, which, by the way, like a lot of people say, like, you didn't even turn to look for the ball. That's not what every corner's technique is going to be. Because there's also a very widely accepted cornerback technique where the receiver starts putting their arms up, then you put your arms underneath them or inside. That's part of it. And you know, a lot of corners aren't taught to necessarily look for the ball. They're taught to watch the wide receiver's arms. Green did neither of these things. Green, I thought, was in a position to make plays more often than not and just didn't or held, which tells you his technique was bad. I didn't pay as much attention to Vincent Gray. I can only look at one thing at a time. Again, I can't see replays. That's troubling. I think the more troubling thing was MSU's offensive line has been an absolute disaster for 2 years running, including last week. And Michigan got nothing done up front. I don't care how quickly Rocky Lombardi is getting rid of the ball. Sometimes he got rid of it fast, and it seemed more often than not when he did, those were incomplete passes. But those long throws, that's plenty of time for some disruption. And there was no, as Jim Harbaugh said, I asked him the first question straight out of the gates. What went wrong up front? He said, we couldn't get havoc plays. No, you couldn't. The offensive line taking a massive step back is also troubling. You've got a little bit of time to potentially get it going. I don't know much about Indiana's defensive prowess up front. At least not this year. I haven't gotten a chance to watch them. I do know that in recent years, it's been more of their back seven more than their front seven. So back four rather than front four, rather. Wisconsin's going to be stout. But they're not necessarily a we're-going-to-come-get-you type unit. They're more of a we-keep-everything-in-front-of-you type unit. They can come get you, but that's they've tended to be more of a let's keep everything in front of us and that we're going to let you get very little in that light. You might not see the we're going to come get you element of a defensive line until Penn State, assuming that other teams don't just do like Michigan State did and crowd the line and force Milton to get rid of the ball even earlier than he wants to. There's ways around that, though. That's what makes the play calling so confusing. Offensive line's having a bad day. Michigan State bringing a blitz on, 90-something percent of the plays defensively? What do you do? Real easy. They're bringing an extra guy. You make them pay. There's going to always be... Listen, in Josh Gattis's offense, there's always going to be someone uncovered anyway. If someone's bringing a blitz, that means you should have more than one option to go with. You need to find a way, all right, they're bringing a blitz. Let's figure out where those blitzes are coming from, which is easier said than done, and make them pay for their aggressiveness. And they didn't do that. Listen, it was a coaching disaster. All of the accolades that Harbaugh and Gattis got coming out of week one, they're rightfully getting skewered after week two. And same thing with Don Brown, but listen, the thing with Don Brown, he was not good because you weren't able to get any pressure and you gave up all of these giant long plays. One of the things that you used to always be able to, you know, sleep soundly about with the Michigan defense was that with the exception of the Ohio State games, I mean, even last year, with a few exceptions, of course, but even last year, it was more of like, hey, big plays in through the air, they're not letting it happen. It's not happening. So, yeah, they might get 12 yards, but they're not going to get 20. Looking at long passing plays last year, I could be way off. But as far as I believe, see, Michigan was 50th in long pass plays allowed. That's 10 yards or more. Is what the metric is that I'm going off of. In 20-yard pass plays or more, Michigan was 31st in the country. In 30 yards or more, as far as pass plays were concerned, Michigan was 48th in the country last year. Let's stick with the 20 metric. The year before Michigan, 2018, Michigan was actually 74th in the country. So I guess my memory is a little foggy as far as statistically where it's been. They've been giving up long pass plays for a little while. Actually, you know what? I'm looking at long pass plays actually attained. So never mind everything I just said. I mean, opponent long passing plays. Okay, let's do this for real this time. Number 10 in the country as in a good way last year in long passing plays. Number and then the year before, number two in the country. The year before, number four in the country. The year before, number two in the country. Year before, number seven in the country. Through two games in 2020, where do you think Michigan is? It's actually number 13, believe it or not. But again, that's the number of plays. All the Big Ten schools are pretty high up there, so that's not like a per game thing. Anyhow, I've got an Ohio State fan friend of mine asking if Harbaugh is getting fired this week. Let's talk about the coaching staff and where I'm confident going forward, where I'm not confident going forward here in a moment. But first, I mean, let's talk a little bit about Built Bar. Now, I have such a good testimonial to give you right now about it, because you all know how, that I've been putting my money where my mouth is. I've been a big fan of it. So I got a couple questionable flavors over the summer from BuiltBar.com. And one I loved, none of these flavors exist anymore, but one I loved, one I was okay on, and one I didn't like at all. It was like a, I just went crazy and just bought a bunch and I was like, okay. And one I just didn't like, whatever. And so I offered some to my roommate and he's like, I hate this. Cause he took the one that I didn't like at all. Well, I kept on ordering, you know, different Built Bar flavors. So as I've told you recently, I got the strawberry one and, but I've been vegan on the weekdays. So I only have maybe like three on a weekend, right? Like maybe two in one day and one in another day. And I only got this box like 2 weeks ago. And so I'd only had like six out of a box of 18. And I'm like looking, I look at this box and I'm like, there's only two left. How the heck is there only two left? I was like, is my roommate eating them and not telling me? Like, he didn't ask me if he could have any? Like, okay. So then I look over this morning, and there's a box of chocolate Built Bars next to it. I didn't order any chocolate Built Bars. That's right. My roommate, who was, like, not at all impressed earlier, has come around so full circle that he's eaten all of my Built Bars and then ordered another box of Built Bars. So I know that's a weird story to tell, but I'm telling you, they are unbelievable. I can't fault him for going through my box of strawberry. They're fantastic. Now we've got some chocolate. Maybe once I'm, you know, have some vegetarian or straight up steak eating days, I'll just, you know, steal a couple of those away. I'm telling you, though, worth it. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, get 20% off of your order. All right. So, I've been teasing. Where do we panic? Where do we not panic here? I need to continue to say this was an inexcusable loss. Absolutely inexcusable. You cannot lose a game the way that Michigan just did. To who Michigan just did. You cannot do it. That said, there's this acting like that. This always happens after a Michigan loss. Always. As if there is no coming back from it. As if this is who Michigan is. Like, I see so much national and local reaction of kind of, and when I say local, I don't mean from the media, but nationally I do. It's always this. Will they be able to win another game this year? People are like looking at the Indiana game and saying like, good luck. Can't believe Michigan's favored. Like there's no way they're going to beat Indiana. Like why? Because Indiana beat Penn State and Rutgers? Michigan hasn't lost to Indiana in over 30 years. Could this be the year that they do it? Maybe. But the fact that they lost to Michigan State just now makes me that much more confident that they will beat Indiana and do it decisively on Saturday. Listen, it's inexcusable that Michigan lost the way it did to Michigan State. The coaching staff particularly is to blame. There were some players that didn't have good games, but for the most part, for a coaching staff that's constantly talking about putting kids in a position to succeed, they didn't. They looked overmatched. They got outcoached. They were absolutely bullied up front. Michigan entered that game from a player perspective looking like they won the game before they got there. This was just taking a victory formation. Coaching-wise, I don't know what the heck the game plan was on either side of the ball. It was bad on both sides. They got absolutely... People use the word exposed. They got exposed, but it's in this game. This game. Now, that's the thing that I'm getting at here. Everyone says, well, what happened against Minnesota was a lie. And I know Minnesota lost on Friday night. listen, what happened against maybe Minnesota isn't as good as we thought that they were. But what I saw from Minnesota, and I watched that game against Maryland, most of it, not all of it, but I watched like the last three quarters over time. I saw a Minnesota team defensively that wasn't, they were missing tackles. They were out of position. Whereas against Michigan, they weren't missing tackles, and the only times they were out of position was because what Michigan was doing offensively strategically put them out of position, whereas they were just flat-footed against Maryland, in my opinion. That, to me, was more of this letting one loss beat you twice, one game beat you twice, one team beat you twice. But everything Michigan did in week one was smart and effective. Right? Like, they had an effective strategy. It had an ineffective strategy against Michigan State. Now, the challenge for the coaches is to not be so beholden to the idea that a strategy or a way of calling a game is going to essentially always win or lose you that game. You have to be able to have some resiliency built in. You have to be so good at certain things that it doesn't matter if, you know, the other team has a perfect game plan, you still are able to execute it. Ohio State's been doing that for years, right? Ohio State under Urban Meyer is like, essentially like, hey, we run five plays. Bet you can't stop them. So that's why I'm not on a ledge, right? Because if Michigan wins at Indiana, if they beat Wisconsin, then Rutgers, then Penn State, then, you know, the narrative starts to change. It won't necessarily fully change until it beats Ohio State, which, I mean, it's an impossible task, but I think that that's true of every team in the conference. I don't think Wisconsin stands a chance against Ohio State. We already saw what happened with Penn State. That's a credit to Ohio State. That's not a knock on Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. That's a credit to what Ohio State has built. But you can start to turn things around. I know 6-2 with losses to both your rivals is inexcusable. Well, at least the loss to, I think, Michigan State is inexcusable. Michigan had no business losing to Michigan State. But it's not the end of the world. I know there's people that want Harbaugh fired. I caution you to think about what happens if that happens. And I know that there's people that say, like, listen, you can't let fear of what comes next be the deterrent. I think you absolutely should, because you can fire Harbaugh. Who's coming in here that's going to make it better? You better have a ringer, because this is Michigan. And if you fire Harbaugh and you settle for something that isn't as capable as he's shown himself to be elsewhere as well as here, this is a hard place to win, right? Look at Texas. Look at USC. These are teams that have been wandering the desert. They're shells of what they used to be, and they show no signs of getting closer. No signs at all. You could end up being the same exact way. I think Michigan's a tier above those two. But they people will lead you to believe that that's not the case, because Michigan has got a much bigger target on its back for whatever reason. Anyway, that's all I have. We're out of time. We'll continue talking about all this type of stuff tomorrow, I'm sure. We'll eventually, I have not found someone for the Indiana preview, so we'll get that probably Wednesday. Thursday, obviously, will be our mailbag, and then Friday will be our preview. That's the week. All right. Keep your heads up. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.